Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Do it or die now. Stand your ground. Don't let your bad breaks go getting you down.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Please subscribe to my newsletter because it's free. It comes every Sunday by email. Gets you ready for the week ahead. And we love sending it to our folks where our subscriber list is over 10,000 now. And I really appreciate all of you who read that and who send those nice comments back. And a couple of you even say, you know, hey, Jim, I think you missed this one. I like that, too. It tells me that you're reading it and it tells me that you care. So whatever it takes, we like hearing from you. Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. William Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, and his new work is called The Medical Privacy Rule. He is the human resources expert of our Brain Trust. Now in his eighth year in our Brain Trust, he's our good friend. Bill Hubbard, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, Bill, as always. And, you know, Bill, I know the topic you want to talk about today is a very important one because one of the things, there's a study that I've reported on the show before that's very interesting. And that is, Bill, that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, a corporation's assets were typically 80% fixed, 20% intangible or intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
Today, those numbers have inverted. It's vast majority, maybe as much as 80% intellectual property and 20% fixed. And that's one of the reasons why your topic that you want to talk about today.
It's a whole different world out there these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that in terms of, I was talking with one of my clients relating to some of the topics that we put into an employee handbook when I write policy manuals for firms. And we used to address all of the traditional human resources issues, the employment matters, the attendance issues, highlights of benefits, some basic disciplinary rules. But now in the last several years, there's a whole new host of topics that we address that relate basically to this issue of data management and how do we manage our data, the intangibles, how do we protect it, how do we get employees to use it properly, and what corrective actions do we take if the problems aren't occurring there. So the working with the computer, working with the internet, working with email, working with cell phones, all of these electronic communications kinds of issues are all part of this new element in the employment arena.
Well, and you know, Bill, when you and I were young pups and we worked for a company, they gave us the information they wanted us to have.
Yeah.
And it was on paper.
Right.
And in manuals and brochures and forms and things like that. And so we used their manuals. And we waited till they gave us the next information that we needed about the business. But today, the information that we're giving people, when we do give our employees stuff, we give it to them typically electronically, which means it can be easily sent to somebody else. It can be easily manipulated and changed, and added to. And they not only use what we give them, they can actually augment it and edit it and things like that. And so there's a whole new level of management that we have to be paying attention to. You know, we wouldn't think about not. We wouldn't think about hiring people without feeling that they wouldn't steal or mess up our inventory. But today we're more likely to have intellectual property as an asset than we are inventory.
And they can take it and they can do something with it, and you can't even see what's going on because they look like they're sitting at their desk typing away doing work, and it could be something completely different.
Right. What are some things we can do about this?
Well, I think the first key thing is really to be aware of it and to recognize that, yeah, we've got new tools on the top of the desk, we've got new responsibilities, and we want to make sure that our employees are properly trained and properly oriented in terms of what we want to do and how we want to do it and what kind of resources we're going to provide and what kind of limitations or guidelines we want them to follow. So to me, that's one of the key issues, is to really take some steps to define responsibilities, define some of these guidelines, communicate that information to employees. So some of this can be in terms of a format of like a job description, or it could be in terms of a format of some sort of a work-related procedure in terms of how certain things are to be done, and some guidelines on what one person's role is and where it limits or where it might refer to keeping the supervisor or the manager informed of different kinds of issues.
Well, at a minimum, it seems to me, Bill, until you get some things written down, you should talk to your employees about your concerns about these things.
Yes.
And let them know that you realize that they've got lots of new power, they've got lots of new capability, that that we're concerned about how that's used.
That's an important part of that, is define some guidelines, communicate those guidelines, let employees know what you're expecting, because if you're not telling them what you want, what the goal is, what the mission is, then they kind of decide it as they go along, and it's easy for them to get sidetracked or to move into a different direction, or to move into a direction that might be in their own personal direction rather than the company's direction.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the specifics that we need to talk to them about, because you have a list of things that we need to really kind of focus on, because, you know, my little comment about it, at a minimum, you should at least let them know your concern. That all that does is sort of set the stage. It sort of lets them know that there's more to come. And so let's talk about the more to come.
Well, one of the things is to make sure that they understand that this is company property. These are company computers, company telephones, company-related equipment.
And the stuff that's created, the content, the words, the numbers, that's company property. Those are assets.
Exactly.
They need that's an education process, isn't it?
It really is.
Because I'm going to tell you, Bill, pardon me, there are CEOs who don't understand that today.
And a lot of those CEOs are from the earlier generation,
yeah,
where it was the hardware rather than the content of the software issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to let them know this is company property. This is how it's to be used. This is in terms of the hardware issues that it's free to be used for company purpose. And then likewise, the company software, the application programs that make the computers work, likewise, are company property, and they're installed by the company. They should only be used to the extent that the company has defined it.
Right.
Because one of the things employees like to do is copy this or copy that and either bring it from home to work or bring it from work to home. And oftentimes,
their music, you know, they probably got high speed at work and they got dial up at home, and they want to download their music quicker at work. And you might not mind that, but that might not be all they're downloading. And so we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Bill Hubbard right after these messages. Bill, give us your website before we go to the break.
www.hubbard.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
Two B's and two T's, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
One fine day.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. That's Robert Cray on blues, guitar, and vocals. Bill Hubbard is our guest. William S. Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, which is a book I still say ought to be on your desktop, not in your bookshelf, but on your desk. And also The Medical Privacy Rule, which is all about how you and I need to keep up with the latest information on what kind of information we can and cannot give out about the medical information about our employees, which basically, Bill, is nothing, right?
Well, not about the employees. We shouldn't be giving that out.
Yeah, nothing. Give us your medical privacy website again, please.
The medical privacy website is different than the Hubbard website that we mentioned a moment ago. That's medicalprivacy.info. And there we've got information on the HIPAA privacy and security regulations, which is kind of the foundation of our topic today.
Yeah.
But the message that I really want to convey is, even though HIPAA applies to the medical community and the insurance community that process all the medical records, the guidelines that are contained in the HIPAA security regulation are basically a blueprint to protect your electronic data, whether it's inventory, whether it's financial, whether it's personnel records, whether it's products and specifications or blueprints or whatever you have in your organization's computer system. the guidelines in the HIPAA security rule basically give you a good blueprint to protect that information from unauthorized disclosure.
Mm-hmm. So the information that has that kind of information, that has the equipment, the computerization that has and stores the privacy information, the medical information of your employees, really needs to be under electronic, if not physical, lock and key, doesn't it?
That's a good way to put it. Very literally, that's one of the key issues. Is any health information that you have, personnel information, ours certainly should be treated as confidential. You need to have defined security steps and procedures that limit access of who can get into that. Part of your administrative policy should define who is working with this data, who has access to this data, and then make sure that your system has both electronic steps that mm-hmm. Like passwords and privacy level controls that prevent others from getting into the system.
And folks, if you're interested in finding out more about this, I encourage you to go to Bill's website, medicalprivacy.info. Is that right?
.info.
Medicalprivacy.info. Bill's one of the world's experts on this topic, and I encourage you to check out. Your book is actually available hard copy and CD, isn't it?
The privacy book is available hard copy and CD. On the security book, I only put that one in CD format because my thought was computer people want to look off the screen.
And the security thing is the privacy thing happened 2 years ago next month, right?
Right.
And then the security thing is taking effect next month, isn't it?
April 20 of 05 is the deadline for the healthcare community to have HIPAA security rules in place.
And this is, folks, this is, as Bill said, this is the fundamental to the topic that we have today, which is having some kind of control over the data that's in your computers. You know, Bill, a lot of people, a lot of small companies will resist letting their employees have access to the internet.
Yep.
Because they don't want the exposure, or they don't want to have to manage what they're doing, or they're concerned they're going to be shopping when they should be working and that sort of thing. But that's like saying I'm not going to give them a car to go on a sales call because they might stop by the store and buy something. I mean, you can't withhold power from an employee if it's something they could also use for the good of the company. You just have to manage it.
If there's a job related purpose for it, then it's a tool that should be provided. If there's not a job-related purpose for it, then there's a reasonable basis to limit the exposure there.
Right.
But the example that you gave with comparing it to the car, if an employee's job requires either communication through the Internet or research of resources through the Internet, then that's an appropriate tool that they should have access to. But likewise, they need the guidelines so that they know this is for work information, this is not to go shopping, it's not to check your stock market portfolio, it's not to start downloading dirty pictures or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that we do need to give those kind of guidelines. We do need to communicate that information. One of the concerns with the electronic information is this is the new medium for sexual harassment, so that the pictures, the jokes, the innuendos, all of these kinds of things oftentimes pass through in a company's electronic system these days just as likely as they're going to pass over the top of the cubicle wall.
So except in this case, there's a record of it.
Yeah, there is a record of it, and even though you hit the delete button, it comes right back up and is used in cases, and many companies have been extremely embarrassed by deleted records that they thought were gone.
And their only protection is really to be able to present the policies that the employees were given to say not to do this.
Well, that's one of the key issues. Present the policy, do the training, do the monitoring, and part of the issue is to let employees know that with an electronic system, it's a company system, we can monitor it. We will monitor it. If we do find violations of policy, we're going to take corrective action to deal with those violations. So that's all part of that administrative role and process. And if you set that standard and communicate it, and employees see that you're doing what you're saying you're going to do, then they're going to focus their activities where it should be, rather than into some of these extraneous areas.
Bill, we got to wrap it up, but if someone wanted you to help them with this, they could contact you through your website, right?
I'd be happy to respond, and I'd mention the show here. We'll give them a kind of a freebie consultation for the initial inquiry.
I appreciate that, and that's hubbart.com, hubbart.com. Bill, thanks for being here. We'll see you next month.
Always glad to be here.
Bill Hubbart, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.